Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Wow, 6 months in, end of financial year. Wow. Who's happy? Everybody's getting their tax back and spend it on some shopping. Who's happy that school holidays is now on? Yeah. I'm not happy. Last school holidays wrecked me, man. Wrecked me. These kids, I've got two boys, Noah and Elijah, 6 and 7, and they're very rowdy, and I'm not looking forward to the next 2 weeks. I'll tell you that much, man. Seriously. But anyways, such an honor to speak to you guys this morning. I love this house. Yeah. I love the West. I'm a Westie. I'm a Westie. Come on, any Westies up here? Come on. I'm an immigrant, as you can tell. I'm not a full-blown Aussie, but I am an Australian citizen. Come on. And I go for the Bombers. I'm a Victorian. And we lost yesterday, and I'm sad. Anyways, when I moved here, I moved to the West, and I've always been in the West. So I love the West, and I love this house, and I love our leaders, Pastor Dave and Pastor Sonia Fuentes. Come on, why don't you give them a round of applause? Let's honor them. They're amazing people, and you know, I speak to Dave almost every day, and we were just talking about, you know, the life of our church and how much we love this house, and he said to me that he invested a quarter of his life into this house. 10 years. Sorry, I gave your age away. 21. He's still 21. He's still 21. But I love these guys, and I'm here because of their investment, of their discipleship, and yeah, love you guys. I want to speak to you today from a scripture that's encouraged me in the season that I'm in, and I pray that it encourages you. I'll be reading from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's a popular scripture. I know a lot of us have read it before. I know a lot of us have quoted it before. And this scripture has really stirred up my faith and encouraged me and given me hope in the season that I am in personally. And it should be on the screens behind me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I'll be reading from the ESV version, the extra special version. Just kidding. Kind of. There it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. How good is that? How good is it that God has a plan for us? Somebody over here is probably saying, man, I'm glad someone's got a plan because I don't have a plan. Man. Goes on to say, plans for welfare. Other scriptures, other translations say plans for good. Plans for peace. Plans for prosperity. And not for evil. Other translations say not for harm. Not for bad, not for disaster, not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. I want to speak to you today from the title of A Good Plan in a Bad Situation.
Wow, come on.
A good plan in a bad situation. Now, to understand Jeremiah 29:11, we need to understand the context. We need to understand the situation, why it was said. You see, the book of Jeremiah is not all beds and roses. It's not a prophecy that tickles the ears of its listeners. In fact, Jeremiah was full of judgment and warning. If you've read Jeremiah, you know that it's very brutal. It's a very brutal book. And for years after years, Jeremiah warned the people of God that there was going to be an incoming invasion. There was going to be someone from the north going to come down. And Jeremiah tells the people of God, hey, someone is coming, but God says you need to repent because these guys have been worshiping different gods and idols. And God, and Jeremiah is telling them, hey, you need to repent. You need to go back to God, seek God, because these guys will come. And if you do that, you will be saved. But if you don't do that, you too will get captured. You will be in exile. Jeremiah 1:15 says this, for behold, I'm calling the tribes of the kingdom of the north, declares the Lord. And it shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against the cities of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 23 says this, thus says the Lord, behold, a people is coming from the north, a great nation that is stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. They lay hold a bow and javelin. They are cruel, and they have no mercy. The sound of them is like a roaring sea. They ride on horses, set in array as a man for battle against, O daughter of Zion. Jeremiah 25 says this, behold, I will send all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord. And for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant and I will bring them against the land of its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. Why? Because the people of God have been rebellious. They have been rebellious. They have been living in wickedness. They have been living in sin. They have been living a life full of lawlessness. They have forgotten their relationship with God. They have broken their covenant with God. Wow. And instead of ministering to God and God alone, instead of serving God and God alone, instead of worshiping God and God alone, they instead follow the other nations and worship different gods and idols. Oh, church, let us not be like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a vessel that worships other gods. I don't want to be a vessel that worships other idols. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian that God spits out. Wow. No. I want to be the one where he receives and say, well done, good and faithful.
Yeah.
Well done, good and faithful. Sorry, church. I want to encourage us, let us not be influenced by the world. But instead, as Christians, we should be the one that leads the charge. Let us be the one that gives the keys to the kingdom, not us receiving the keys to hell.
Yeah, wow.
We are called to be set apart. Romans 12:1 says this, behold, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. This is your worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing this, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Oh, church, I pray that we live a life that is acceptable to God. I pray that we live a life that is pleasing to his sight. I just feel to share that we need to have that reverence back.
Yeah, right.
Bring back the fear of God.
Good.
And because of the people of God's, because of Israel, because of Judah, because of their worship to idols, because of their idolatry, they have also committed idolatry. Because they decided to worship other gods and other idols from other nations, their hearts have become unfaithful to God. Let me tell you something, church. God will not accept dual allegiance. He will not accept dual worship. And the commandment is clear on that. The people of God knew that, but they continued to be rebellious. They continued to sin willfully. Jeremiah 11, verse 10 to 11 says this, they have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. of their forefathers, which means that this has been going around for years. This has been going around for ages. This has been going around for generations. Jeremiah goes on to say, who refused to hear my words. They have gone after gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant. And I have made them their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am bringing a disaster upon them and they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. You can already tell that it's a brutal book. It's very brutal. Jeremiah 13 verse 10, it says this evil people, talking about the people of God, talking about Israel, who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow with their own heart and have gone after other gods and served them and worshiped them, they shall be like this loincloth which is good for nothing. Chapter 18 verse 12 says, but they say, this is the people now, they say, this is in vain. We will follow our own hearts, our own plans, and will everyone act accordingly to the stubbornness of this evil heart after God telling them to repent. You see, because of their wickedness, because of their idolatry, because of disobedience, because of their sins, their action led them to these consequences. Church, can I encourage you, don't let your sinful desire lead you to your destruction. Don't let your sinful desire lead you to your destruction. And so in Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 19, God is like, if you want to serve a foreign God so much, well, then I will put you under foreign people. Wow. And so fast forward to chapter 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, the people of God are now in a bad situation. The Babylonians have arrived, just as Jeremiah prophesied. King Nebuchadnezzar has taken the people captive. He takes them to exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 1 says this, to the surviving elders of the exile, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, how many of us know that's a bad situation? That's not good news. That's bad news. It's already not good to be in exile. It's already not good to be taken away from your home. But much worse is that it's going to go on for 70 years. This is how long that they were going to be in exile for 70 years. But they were there because of their rebellion towards God. And this was their consequence. This was their punishment. This was their discipline. But even in the midst of all of this, God tells them that he has a plan. Huh. In the midst of all of this, God tells them that he has a plan. Even though it was their fault that they're there to begin with. Yeah. Even though God has warned them time and time and time and time again, years after years, this is what's going to happen if you continue to do this. And they end up doing it. Now they're in a bad situation. God still tells them, I've got a plan for you.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's good.
How good is God?
Yeah.
That just shows you his heart, his mercy, his compassion. That should give us an insight of how good God's heart is. For years, Jeremiah has been telling them, hey, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. And they reject his prophecies. They reject his warnings. They reject his judgment. And now they're in captivity. Now they're in exile. And God says, I've got a plan for you. And not just any plan, but a good plan.
Yes.
A good plan. God has a good plan in a bad situation. Now, how good is that?
Yeah.
I want to remind you, church, that not only our God is a just God, but he's a merciful God. His mercy is new every morning. And even though we ourselves get ourselves into trouble and messy situation, God is gracious enough to get us out of there. His grace is more than sufficient. How many of us have been there before? I know I've been there before, where I've been in trouble with my parents, with my teachers, with my coaches. And yet they're like, ah, man, look, I told you so, but all right, let me help you out. Right? We've all been children before. We've all been stubborn before. We've all been in trouble before. But God is good. His mercy is new every morning, and His grace is more than sufficient. And the amount of times that this has happened to me is countless. Yes, I feel the sting of discipline. Yes, I feel the sting of rebuke. Yes, I feel the sting of correction. But let me tell you, I also feel His overwhelming love in my life. Let me tell you, church, God's love is the greatest thing ever. Psalm 63 tells us that His love is greater than life itself. You may think, church, oh, Levi, man, I've done some bad things. I've done some worse things. I've done some things that's unforgivable. No matter how great your sin may be, church, I want to let you know that God's love is greater. His love is greater. But can I encourage you at the same time? Let His mercy lead you to a sacrificial life. Let His kindness lead you to a repentant life. Let His love lead you to a devoted life. And so the people of God rebelled against Him countless times. They disobeyed Him countless times, rejected Him countless times, sinned against Him countless times. And here comes God, despite of all that, and says, I've got a good plan. He's got a good plan in a bad situation. And what I love about verse 11 is that not only God tells us that He has a good plan, not only He tells us that He has a plan for well-being, He has a plan for prosperity, He has a plan for peace, but He also tells us that He gives us a future and a hope. Yeah. Now, how many of us know sometimes, church, sometimes we lose our hope because we don't know a future. Wow. Sometimes we lose a hope because we don't have a future. But because God's promises and plans is to give them a future, as a result, God also gives them a hope. That there is something to look forward to. That there is a tomorrow. Yes, 70 years is a long time, but there is a year 71.
Yeah, come on. It's great.
You have to understand, 70 years is a long time. I mean, I'm not even half that age yet, and I feel old. I'm very stiff. Can't even run properly. I run like this because of my back. My son Noah, you know, whenever we go out, he's always asking me, Dad, how long is this going to be? And if it's above 30 minutes, it's a long time for him. It's like he's going regional. I say, wait till you visit Philippines. It's full of traffic. My son Elijah, 15 minutes is a long nap for him. I remember one time I told him, hey, it's a big night tonight, nap for at least 15 minutes. And he tries to bargain with me, Dad, that's too long. I'll nap for 3. How do you even nap for 3 minutes? That's not the point. The point is, if 15 minutes is a long nap and 30 minutes is a long drive, then 70 years feels like forever. But God gives them a hope by providing them a future. He gives them a tomorrow. There is a tomorrow. There will be a day, there will be a tomorrow where God's plan, God's plans for peace, God's plan for welfare, God's plan for prosperity will come into fruition. Church, I want to encourage you in Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and bring forth sprout, a giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that comes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing in which I sent it. He who began a work in you will continue to do the work in you. He who starts the work in you will finish the work in you. He who initiates the work in you will complete the work in you. Our God is a promise keeper. Our God is a way maker. With man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. With God is possible. His words don't come back void, and his words will never return empty. They will come to plan, and they will come to fruition. There will be a tomorrow.
Come on.
You may be in exile now. I don't know what season you may be in. You may be in a season of wilderness. You may be in a season of valley, a season of storm. But I just want to encourage you, church, that there will be a tomorrow. God has a good plan in a bad situation. Hold on. Breakthrough is coming.
Come on.
Breakthrough is coming. So what do we do today? What do we do now? What can we do now? What can we do today while we wait for our tomorrow? Verse 4 to 5 of chapter 29 says this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exile who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. One of the ways that we can do now in our today while waiting for tomorrow is to be productive.
Yeah, that's good, Levi.
Build houses and plant gardens. Be productive. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Be proactive in the season of waiting. I want to ask you, church, where are you at right now? What season are you in right now? Are you studying? Are you making the most of your waiting season? Are you upskilling? Are you learning? Are you working on your craft? Are you being obedient to what God is asking you to do? Let me tell you, God won't take you to the next step until you finish the first step.
Wow,
are you doing the first step? Are you seizing the day? Are you maximizing your potential? Are you doing all that you can and all that you can do in the season of waiting? Can I encourage you as you are in the waiting season, you're in the today season, start to prepare yourself for what God has prepared for you. I remember a few years ago when I was in my waiting season personally, God promised me a full-time role in ministry, which I am in now. But I wasn't just doing anything. I became a full-time volunteer.
Yeah.
I was the first Pneuma School of the Spirit student, unofficially. So I was doing something about my waiting season. I was planting gardens and building houses. I was being productive. And can I just encourage you, prepare yourself for what God is preparing you.
Come on.
Be productive. Build houses and plant gardens. What else? Verse 6 says this. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your son and give daughters in marriage, that they may bear more sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. Now, I'm not telling you to have babies. Okay? I'm not saying that. But I am saying to multiply. Okay? I'm not telling you to have babies. But I'm telling you to multiply. But the reason why God tells this is because he has a plan to restore Israel from exile. And he's not about to bring 5 people back into their land. He's going to bring back a nation. So he's saying, while you're here, I want you to grow. So when I restore you, you're coming back as a nation. Okay, so that's the context, okay? And I'm not telling, hey, but for married couples, if you want to go have a, if you want to multiply, hey, I'm not stopping you, okay? If the Lord says, the Lord says. I'm not even going to be there in the process, okay? So you do your thing.
Oh my God.
TMI. Soz. But I will be there for baby dedication, though. I will. Amen, baby dedication. But what I'm saying is that in the season of waiting, let your life be fruitful. Multiply all that you can. What as you're building houses and planting gardens, let it be fruitful. Let it multiply, okay? Let your life produce fruit in the season of waiting. Let your being with God, let your doing with God produce multiplication and fruitfulness. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Dave preached a brilliant message on our kingdom culture value, that is, discipleship is not optional. Hey, one of the ways that we can multiply in the season of waiting is actually doing life with people. You know, investing in their life, discipling them. Can I encourage you? Disciple people. Who are you discipling? Who are you investing?
Yeah.
You know, we read earlier in Jeremiah 11, it says that the people turned back in their iniquities of their forefathers. Of their forefathers. In other words, they have committed the same kind of sin. They have committed the same iniquities as their parents.
Wow.
So, parents, can I encourage you? Invest in your children.
That's good.
That's one way you can multiply. Invest in the next generation. Disciple them. And I just want to just let you guys know as well, there is a difference between a child raised in church versus a child raised in Christ.
Yeah, wow.
Very good.
That's good, Levi.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with bringing your children to church. In fact, we recommend it. We encourage it. But it's our primary role to actually disciple them at home.
Yeah,
that's what raising them in Christ looks like.
Yeah.
Is that cool? Invest in the next generation, multiply, do life with people, invest in them. Not only that, but in verse 7, God tells them, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find welfare. In other words, while you wait for your plans of welfare, while you wait for your plans of prosperity, while you wait for your plans of peace, be a welfare yourself. Be a welfare in your city. Be a welfare in your suburb. Be a welfare in your block. Be a welfare in your street. Be a welfare to your neighbor. Be a blessing while you wait for your blessing. Be a blessing while you wait for your blessing. And as you position yourself to be a blessing, you are setting yourself up for a blessing.
Great, Levi. So good.
Sometimes in a season of waiting, sometimes in a season of wilderness and storms and valleys, we get too caught up looking at our own bad situation.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
And it's actually put more of a delay than anything.
Wow.
Man, I haven't got my dream job yet. Man, my ministry is not fruitful. Man, my marriage is still broken. Man, my business is not going well. Man, my finance is still low. When we focus too much on our problems, we start to have a problem-centered life.
Wow.
And it will miss the opportunity for us to be a blessing, but also to receive a blessing.
Wow.
God says, seek the welfare of the city, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. What you do when you're in a season of today while waiting for your tomorrow. Be a blessing.
That's great.
Be a blessing, if I can get the band to come up. Is this helping anybody?
Good.
Be a blessing. While waiting for tomorrow, while waiting for the future, while waiting for the plans of welfare, while waiting on the plans for peace, while waiting on the plans for prosperity, while waiting on the plans for good, God has asked the people of Jerusalem to, number one, be productive, number two, multiply, and number three, be a blessing. And then finally, he tops it all off. And God tells them not to listen to false prophets. Not to seek prophecies, for God did not send them, in verse 8. And sometimes in the season of in between, we get too eager. We get too itchy. We want to hear a prophetic word, but we ourselves are not immersed in the word. Sometimes we're so eager to hear what a person has to say about our plans, but not even ask God what his plans are. But God says, do not look for the prophecies from false prophets, but to look for him. Seek him. In the season of waiting, in the season of today, as you're being productive, as you're multiplying, as you're being a blessing, to top it all off, seek God.
Yeah, come on.
Seek God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me and I will hear you. Verse 13, it says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of exile, in the midst of captivity, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of the valley, God is inviting us to a place of intimacy. God is inviting us once again to a place of covenant relationship. It doesn't say seek the prophecies with all your heart. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with prophetic words. But if that's what we seek above God, then we're in dangerous grounds. It doesn't say to seek the plans above God. No, God says, seek me. Find me. Search for me. He's the one that's got the plans. Don't look for the plans. Look for God. Search for him. Wait on him. Look for him. Search for him with all your heart. He's got the plans. He knows the plans. Why? Because he made the plans.
Yeah, come on.
He's the one that made the plans for you. So if you want to know the plans, seek God.
Great, Levi.
I want to encourage you, church. No matter what season you may be in, to seek God. Seek God. I want to ask you, church, what's your Babylon? What's your Babylon? What has the enemy taken captive over your life?
Wow.
Is it your health? Is it your marriage, your family? Is it your ministry? Is it your business? What has the enemy taken captive? What has the enemy broken? What has the enemy damaged? What has the enemy destroyed in your life? What season are you in? Are you in a season of waiting? Are you in a season of delay? Are you in a season of bad situation? What's your Babylon? I want to remind you, church, that no matter what season you may be in, God has a plan. God has a good plan in a bad situation. Now I want to encourage you to seek him with all your heart, to seek him, to search him with all your heart, because then finally in verse 14, it says this, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from all the places from where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. You see, our God is a restorer.
Yeah.
Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a redeemer. And all we got to do, church, is to continue to fix our eyes on him. Continue to seek him. Why? Because our God has a good plan in a bad situation. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.